Yes, indeed, I am Mr. Pickering. You can call me Al, if you like. We're not in a series of Bible teaching at the moment. We've had our series on Colossians, which many of you heard and got a lot from, as I did. We're going to be going into a couple of series in the autumn, one about being disciples of Jesus, getting back to that crucial thing, what does it mean to be a disciple of Jesus? And then we are going on to think about how do we make disciples of Jesus? How do we shine with good works, and how do we sow the message of Jesus in various ways into people's lives? So that's kind of coming up in the autumn, but before then we've still got a couple more sort of one-off messages. Don't think of them as fillers. Don't think of them as being NLS. It's the Word of God. We want to listen to what God has to say to us. And I wanted to speak this morning, I guess in connection with, we've had a little feature, haven't we, already, about children and young people and God's heart for them and our heart for them as a church and our desire to see God working in their lives. I want to speak a little bit from that, from the Bible. But we'll come back to that in a minute. It is a big week, isn't it, for kids? Not just moving up to different kids' groups at school, but it's back to school week. My dad used to be a teacher, and when we used to be on summer holidays, it used to annoy him that he just started his summer holidays as a teacher, and you'd see signs up in the window of W.H. Smith's, Woolworths, if you remember Woolworths, and Clark's Shoes, saying, "You're back to school." He'd be like, I'm trying to recover from a last year with the kids. He took early retirement in the end. It's probably for the best. My dad, maybe it wasn't. Actually, he was in a pretty rough school. The kids used to fight and throw darts and chuck chairs around and stuff. So he was pretty better off out of it. But anyway, I guess if you're that kind of if you're a teacher in that kind of school, maybe back to school isn't such a great message. But kids going back to school. However, some of them will be excited, some of them will be a little bit apprehensive, some of them will wish the holidays would go on permanently. But it's important, isn't it? Back to school, we've all benefited from being in school, whatever that was like. For us, there is stuff to learn, there's stuff the new generation needs to know, there's times tables, there's Romeo and Juliet, French verbs, inspector calls, making rock buns, learning which part of the Bunsen burner flame is the hottest. I can still remember that. It's not been that useful, to be honest. But even more important than all these things, spelling, times tables, even more important to pass on to a new generation. That's what we're going to look at this morning. We're going to look at Psalm 78, passing on the knowledge of the great and loving and awesome God. So let's have a look at Psalm 78. Is quite long. I'll tell you what the rest of it's about, but we're just going to look particularly at the first 8 verses. Let me just pray as well. Just ask for God's help as we look at this together. We're not just looking at words from a book. It's a spiritual thing that's going on this morning, and we need God's help, His Spirit, to help us understand and grasp these things. Father God, just help us by Your Spirit now as we look at Your words in the Bible. Teach us, speak to us, help us understand them, help us to know what they mean for us. Amen. So, Psalm 78, look out in here for what we are to pass on to the next generation. It starts, a maskil of Asaph, that is the official heading of the psalm. He's the guy who wrote this. It's some particular type of psalm, perhaps one that was one that teaches wisdom. And he says, "My people, hear my teaching, listen to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth with a parable. I will utter hidden things, things from of old, things we have heard and known, things our ancestors have told us. We will not hide them from their descendants. We will tell the next generation the praiseworthy deeds of the Lord, His power, and the wonders He has done. He decreed statutes for Jacob and established the law in Israel, which He commanded our ancestors to teach their children, so that the next generation would know them, even the children yet to be born, and they in turn would tell their children. Then they would put their trust in God and would not forget his deeds, but would keep his commands. They would not be like their ancestors, a stubborn and rebellious generation, whose hearts were not loyal to God, whose spirits were not faithful to him. And that's what we're going to think about this morning, getting hold of and passing on the greatness of God and a true relationship with God through Jesus, the next generation. It's not just a message for parents. It's important to say that. It's not just this is a message for all of us as God's people. Yes, parents do have a particular responsibility in these things, but I want us to see this as a kind of inspiring challenge to us as a church, even if it's to keep on doing what we're doing, for you to keep on going with the heart you have for children and young people in your prayers, in your giving, in your serving. If you're not a Christian here this morning, you are so welcome. And I hope that at least something comes across to you this morning of the greatness and the wonderful nature of God, that actually there's something we want to pass on to you, that you can know him and he can change your life for the better as you trust in him at the center of your life. So let's just think about it in three different bits. What must we pass on, first of all? What must we pass on? Verse 4 again. We will tell the next generation the praiseworthy deeds of the Lord, his power and the wonders he has done. Good little Olympic reference there. Olympic and Paralympic reference there in the slide. That's all you'll hear about the Olympics. But, little connection there. But I think sort of that passing on the baton is quite a good image, I think. Passing on the baton. For Asaph, who wrote this psalm for the Israelites who first heard it, what would it have meant to them? What were they actually thinking of when they read the praiseworthy deeds of the Lord, his power and the wonders he has done? Well, you can read through the psalms of all kinds of things that they used to praise God for making the world, for making us, for providing what we need, for loving us and forgiving us even when we don't deserve it. But the big one, in the Old Testament, the big one that the Jews look back to and Jews will look back to today as they celebrate the Passover is the Exodus on the next slide. The Exodus. I don't know what this book is like, to be honest. I'm sure it's a very good book, but I like the picture. And just kind of bringing together, it's just something of the power, the number of people, the escape from Egypt. It was this massive event in the history of God's people. Huge event in the Old Testament part of the Bible. The awesome rescue of God, of his people from slavery in Egypt, with Moses leading them, taking them to the promised lands. And it included some awesome acts of God. In fact, at the moment, I'm reading through Exodus myself in my Bible readings. Because actually, I think I want to get that sort of that perspective of God, that awesome power of God that we kind of read about in places like Exodus. And I'm reading that through at the moment. But in that story, that true story, we see the awesome, miraculous plagues that God sent that led to them being freed by Pharaoh, the parting of the Red Sea, providing food and water for them in the desert, guiding them with a pillar of cloud and pillar of fire, settling them in the promised land. It was an awesome rescue. It was showed the awesome, mighty power of God. But more than that, it pictures the greatest rescue of all. And as Christians today, we know that actually, as true as that was and important as that was, it actually points forwards to an even greater rescue, like the greatest rescue of all. Jesus setting us free from slavery to sin. John 8, Jesus said, everyone who sins is a slave to sin. There's a sort of spiritual slavery that Jesus says we're all in until Jesus sets us free. Everyone who lives their life, not God's way, but their own way, without him at the center, without loving him and knowing him and honoring him, It's spiritual slavery, and we need to be set free. Many people think that living life their way, doing it my way, brings freedom. That is the freedom we want, just to be able to do what we want to do. We don't want some God, some holy book telling us what we've got to do. But God says it doesn't lead to freedom. It leads to captivity. It leads to restriction. It's not how life is meant to be lived. It's not how we thrive. We were made to live in relationship with God, and it brings real freedom. I remember being down at the beach in Seaford, and you often see fish swimming really close to the water's edge, and there was fish jumping out of the water. It was incredible. Imagine one of those fish was thinking, you know, I've had enough of the sea. I've had enough of being restricted. I want true freedom. I want to live on the land. I'm going to head for the beach. Fish trying to live on land. It's not freedom, is it? They're not free to do what they want to do. It's restriction. It's death for fish. If they're not picked up by a seagull, they'll perhaps end up on someone's beach barbecue. Living for yourself, rejecting God, it's not freedom ultimately. It takes away our freedom to live the life that God wanted us to live. It ultimately leads to death. It leads to permanent separation from God until we're rescued by him. And just as God rescued his people from slavery in Egypt with mighty power in an even greater way, Jesus, the Son of God, he came from the glory of heaven, and because of his love for us, and he became a man, became born as a baby, grew up as a man to rescue us, dying on the cross to take the punishment for the wrong that we've done. And then in a mighty act of power, came back to life in his resurrection. And if we put our trust in him to forgive us and rescue us from our sins, Ephesians 3 says, in him and through faith in him, we may approach God with freedom and confidence. And if you turn from your sin and put your trust in Jesus, you have been set free. You have freedom in Christ. It's something that we need to grow into. It's something we need to get hold of all that means for us in our lives and live in the good of that. We're free from the penalty our sins deserve. We're free from the power of sin. We don't have to live a life subject to sin. God helps us by his Spirit. We're free to know God and love him and live the life we were made for. And so when we think about the praiseworthy deeds of the Lord, his power, the wonders he has done, it's the gospel message for us, isn't it? And we need to get hold of that, and we need to pass it on. We need to pass it on to the next generation. That's why in our children's and youth work, it's so important to us that we have that. We're blessed as a church. We know many churches, they don't have the resources to put on children's and youth work. It's a struggle. But it's also why we don't just play games and eat biscuits and kick a ball about and do crafts, but actually at the heart of our children's work, we do those things and we want to keep children safe. But at the heart of our children's and youth work is that in an age-appropriate way to help them come to know the wonderful, awesome, loving God of the Bible and his Son, Jesus Christ. To teach them that God made the world and he loves us. That actually the stories in the Bible, they're not all about, wasn't David brilliant and wasn't Abraham brilliant. It's actually all of these stories in the Bible just show that God is the hero. God is the hero in every Bible story. And we want our children to grow in their understanding that Jesus is at the center of the Bible, even the Old Testament, that they need his forgiveness, that if they trust in him, he will come into their life and be with them and help them at school and at home and whatever they face. We want Jesus to be at the heart of our children's work and people knowing Jesus. But it's not just for kids, is it, as well? All of us, are you growing? If you're a Christian, are you growing in your knowledge of the awesome power of God, the wonderful love of God, as we've been singing about and thinking about earlier in our worship? Are you grasping more and more the implications for your daily life that God is God, his love, you can trust him, that he's got a plan for you, not to harm you, but to do you good. And if you're not a Christian, this is an invitation to you again to come to know this awesome God of love and thrive in a life centered around him as you put your trust in Jesus, receive his forgiveness and his Holy Spirit to be with you forever. These are things we want to pass on to everyone, aren't they? But these are things we especially want to pass on to the next generation. Well, if you're a Christian here this morning, and it was kind of mentioned, I think, earlier on, you know, how did you become a Christian? Who passed it on to you? Who passed on this wonderful message and knowledge of God to you? Who passed it on to you? It says, verse 3, things we have heard and known, things our ancestors have told us. If you don't mind, maybe just have a little hands-up survey if you want to be part of this. If you're a Christian here this morning, hands up if you became a Christian and trusted Jesus before the age of 18. Yeah. And keep your hands up, and maybe you put your hand up as well if someone older than you played a significant part in you becoming a Christian. A few more people. It's wonderful. And I think so many of us are here today because people have taken it seriously, the idea of passing on the gospel, passing on it to the next generation. I'm so grateful to God for my mum and dad and my granny, who played such an important part in me becoming a Christian. Also, for youth camp leaders, I used to go on Christian youth camps, not as big as New Day that we send our kids on, but much smaller things. And me and my brother and a couple of friends, we used to go from our church on this Christian camp. We gave the leaders so much trouble. I know you can't believe it. You can't believe it. But, you know, all sorts, you know, there were nettles put in leaders' sleeping bags. There were door handles got snapped. There was all sorts of things got broken. In fact, I broke my tooth. Well, you can't see it now, but anyway, don't know why I'm telling you that. But I broke my tooth. It's permanently broken. It's just got a sort of filling thing on it. I broke it at that camp. But we used to give the leaders so much trouble. One time the leader of the camp, he said, "You four are the worst four on the camp." I was one of those four. But it was at that camp that I first understood the gospel. It was at that camp I first understood that, yeah, we need to put our trust in Jesus. And actually, it's the best thing in all the world. It's what we're made for, to be a Christian. And I'm so grateful. I'm so grateful for these. I think many years later, I saw that. I saw the overall leader of that camp. I think it was at my mum and dad's silver wedding anniversary. And I said, "Look, David, I'm really sorry. Sorry for the trouble we caused you all those years ago." But these were just ordinary Christians. Ordinary Christians taking Psalm 78 seriously. Think, we want to pass on to the next generation the awesome knowledge of God, who he is, what he has done for us. And I thank God for everyone who's been involved in that. And maybe you can, it's a good thing to give thanks for. Maybe you can think, who passed on the gospel to me? Who was it? Who can I give thanks for? Who can I, you know, be grateful for? Maybe even tell them if they're still alive or you have the opportunity. We want to see the next generation coming to know Jesus. And wouldn't it be terrible if children's work, youth work died out in this church? You might think that's never going to happen. We've got so many kids. We've got so much going on. But it happens. It happens. I went to work at a church quite a few years ago. They'd had a really thriving youth and children's work many years before. And by the time I went there to work there, there was nothing. Things had just, in fact, there weren't really any children. The odd person brought along a grandchild to church. The sort of children's work had fallen silent. You just think, how can this happen? But it can, because actually we need, it's not just enough to say, right, next Sunday we're going to do it, and next Sunday after that. We have to keep going, year after year, passing it on, keeping it at the heart of what we do. It's not, obviously, it's not the only thing we do as a church, but that's our focus this morning. And the Psalm 78 attitude says, you know, I'm not going to let that happen. I'm not going to let that happen in King's Church. I'm going to pray that it doesn't happen in other churches. If you're visiting from another church, you say, I'm going to pray that this does not happen in our church. I'm going to do everything I can for the next generation that they might know the Lord Jesus. As a parent, as a grandparent, as an aunt or uncle, as a neighbor to families, as a friend of someone who has kids or teenagers, if you're someone who can pray, you can be part of this. We need spiritual aunts and uncles in the church. Funnily enough, I think when I was growing up in our church, we used to call, probably out of sort of respect, but I liked it. It was, we used to, you know, there was Uncle Gordon who used to come and play the piano in our Sunday school group. We call them, and they were like the spiritual aunts and uncles. Some of them wouldn't have had children of their own, but they were involved. And you don't even have to be doing the kids' work, but actually we can all play our part in helping to pass it on to the next generation. You can give money. You can reach out in kindness to local families. Someone in our church gave some money so that we could buy tents to take kids away on our youth day, New Day youth camp. And they were well used again this year. There's all sorts of different ways. Maybe you have got the capacity and the opportunity and the fitness, etc., to get involved in serving in our kids' work. As I said earlier, we've got about 33 people. Sounds like a lot. We're always short. We're always short, and partly because of the people's lives change and things happen, and there's always a need. We've got several vacancies, particularly in that sort of middle group, LiveWise at the moment. Speak to Anne, the people who are up here, Anne and Sarah and Layla, speak to them if you'd like to get involved, or you think, actually, what does it involve? It's not like you get straight in and you start teaching or having to do loads of preparation. There's lots of easy, gentle ways into these things. There's even opportunities to help midweek with our youth. It's God calling you to get involved in that way. But all of these different things I've mentioned, we don't all need to do all of them. But they're all just different ways that we need to be part of passing on the knowledge of God to the next generation. And just a special word for parents as well. It is important to say, as good as our children's and youth work might be, don't assume it's all happening. Don't assume, yeah, it's all happening on Sundays. I don't even need to mention God all week. Actually, the Bible says that we have a prime responsibility as parents to bring up our children to know the Lord. We can't make them Christians, of course, but to give them every opportunity to put it in the best light, to do everything that we can. And we want to help you as a church. We want to help one another as parents, just to have wisdom, to know, what does that look like? How do we handle the challenges of life? What do we do when our kids say, I don't want to go to church anymore? What do we do when our children say, actually, I don't want to read the Bible and pray anymore? You know, we don't want to force anyone, but how can we encourage? How can we bless our children? How can we help them through the difficult times and help bring God into their situation? If you're a parent, how are you bringing the knowledge of God to your children this week? Doesn't have to be just through teaching. Is it going to be through teaching? Is it through helping them read the Bible? Is it praying for them? Is it just, I've been thinking about this, just kind of opening up your Christian life to them? I think there's a lot to be said for that at any age, but I think particularly as they get older, to share with them what you're reading in the Bible at the moment, to share with them what you learned at church this morning. Even if they won't tell you what they did in the kids' work, you can tell them what we were learning about, whatever level is best for them. You can pray with them. You can say, come on, you're facing a difficulty as a family, maybe even money worries or something. Come on, let's pray. Let's just pray about that. Let's pray for this person who we know is sick. Let's pray for someone to become a Christian in our family. Let's sort of open up our Christian lives and include them in it. And I think there's a lot to be said for that. It's partly about being an example, isn't it? Example. Not our perfect example. Not saying, you know, we want our children to see, actually, we do get things wrong. We're good at apologizing to them. And maybe they'll even hear us apologizing to other people. We want our children to know that the love, the greatness, the knowledge of God. Well, what is this? Just the final thing, we've kind of said it already, but why do we do it? last section. Why do we do it? Why pass it on? Verse 7. Then they would put their trust in God. They would not forget his deeds. They would keep his commands. They would not be like their ancestors, a stubborn and rebellious generation whose hearts were not loyal to God, whose spirits were not faithful to him. Our vision is not to just have kids who are decent people, who know the Bible stories, who have Christian values, as sometimes people might say. The Psalm 78 vision is, and it's God's vision, that we put our trust in God, that we hold on to God, that we don't rebel, we don't turn away from him. And the rest of this psalm, and you can read it later, it looks back through events of the people of Israel in the Old Testament and how they were rebellious and turned away from God and were unfaithful to him, despite all God had done for them, despite the wonderful things they'd seen him do, despite the faith of the previous generations and their parents and their grandparents. It's not enough to have the heritage and the family background. It's not enough to have Christian parents. It's not enough to have gone up through the kids' work at King's Church. It's not enough to have been to New Day or the kids' work and youth work at Catalyst Festival. We want to see our children truly put their trust in God. Trust in Jesus and his death for them to be right with God and forgiven. Show that they trust in God as they do what is right and obey God, even when it means going against what their friends are doing, going against the culture. We want them to hold on to God and his promises in difficult times in life. Things that are difficult for them, sometimes with children, we may think, oh, that's nothing. Life's going to get a lot more difficult than that. But actually, we want them to get used to trusting in God in the things that they are finding hard right now. Even if we think, oh yeah, you'll grow out of that. And we want to help them to pray and to trust God and to hold on to him. We want them to grow into those who want to pass on the gospel and knowledge of God to the next generation. And it's important to say, it's not just about we want them to grow into men and women of God. We often say that in the church. We want them to be children of God, boys and girls of God right now, from an early age. The Bible doesn't give a minimum age for becoming a Christian. You can have real faith, simple faith maybe, but real faith at a very young age. Jesus said, "Let the little children come to me. Do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. Truly I tell you, anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter it." And I think that Jesus was saying, actually, we all need to take an example from the trust of children in the way that we have a simple trust in God. But actually, he's also saying there, it is possible. And he loves it when young children come to put a simple faith and trust in him. Such a privilege for me to be part of the New Day Festival, to be one of our youth leaders there. Years ago, I used to think, I'd love to go to the New Day Festival, see what it's like. I thought, maybe I'm too old, maybe I'm past it. But actually, it was great. And even there were people older than me who were there helping with it. And it's so wonderful. It's so wonderful to just help make it happen practically, but also so good to see teenagers engaging in worship, praying with some of them, talking to them about what they're learning, about how the Word of God is impacting them in the Bible messages and the seminars, and maybe talking through with them about what is this going to look like when you get home. Someone asked me, he said, well, we talk a lot about trusting in God. What does that actually mean? I thought, that's a great question. That is a great question. We were able to talk together in a little group about what does that mean in daily life when you go back to school or work or college. We want to have high expectations, don't we? All year round, not just New Day, Catalyst, all year round, that children and young people will come to know God and grow in him. That's what we're trying to do as a church. That's why we do the kids' work. But what's your part in that? What's your part in that? Is God stirring your heart at all this morning to be more faithful in prayer for children and young people, maybe particular people God's putting on your heart, a particular family maybe, maybe your own children. We're going to have our youth work special offering next month. There's an opportunity to give towards our youth work. There's something coming up. There's the opportunity to serve with our gifts and abilities. Maybe for you, you think, actually, I can see that this is important. But actually, to be honest, it doesn't stir my heart. I find children difficult, maybe. But actually, I want to. Lord, please make me want to be part of this and help the next generation know Jesus and then pass it on beyond that. So let's just be quiet for a moment and let's just think about how we might respond to this. Perhaps you can just, if you don't know what to do with this message, just pray, ask God, please, Lord, speak to me. What is in this for me? If you do know, maybe just think, what are your next steps? What is God calling you to do, or might be calling you to do in terms of passing on the gospel to the next generation? Let's just have a moment of quiet while we think these things through and pray. Something that's been on my heart to do this morning is, in a moment, I'm going to ask you to stand if you want to kind of respond to this. I'm not expecting it just to be one or two. I'm expecting a significant number, but don't worry at all if this is, you don't feel this is where you're at. But if you're someone who any of this kind of resonates with, and you think, Lord, I just want to be equipped by you. I want to be empowered by your Spirit to either have a heart, more of a heart for the next generation, to have God's help with perhaps what you're already doing in serving him, perhaps in kids' work particularly, youth work, have to be empowered to pray better, or maybe as a parent, Or is it someone who has children in your family and you think, I want them to know God. I don't know what to do next, but I want to. And Lord, please help me, show me, empower me. So if that makes sense, I'm standing up anyway, but I would be standing up if I was not, if I was sitting down now. But if that makes sense to you, why don't you stand? And I want to pray for you all. Lord God, we do thank and praise you, Lord, for bringing us to know you and for making us, through faith in Jesus, children of God, sons and daughters of God. And Lord, I just pray for, Lord, all of us who are standing here and even those who maybe would like to stand and not able to. Lord, I pray for us all. Please give us more of your heart for children, young people, teenagers, the next generation. Give us more of your heart for them. Help us when maybe it's difficult. Help us to pray. Help us to know what a commitment to pass on the gospel to them looks like. Help us to know what our part is. Lord, I pray for all of us. Lord, guide us. Show us. May this not be a morning where it's just forgotten about as soon as we walk out the door. But Lord, be stirring us. Showing us, Lord, is there something new that you want us to be part of? A new attitude, a new approach to prayer, a new commitment to our children. Lord, you need to do it, Lord. You're the one who brings about salvation. You're the one who brings about growth. But Lord, it's wonderful, Lord. It's amazing that you use us in these things. Please use us for your glory, and that the knowledge of Jesus would spread down and through the generations. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.